Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, in your browser via WFPR.FM or in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, that dial or push button 102.9 on the FM band. Here today virtually for another candidate interview for our biennial election coming up November 4th. Should be no stranger to anybody that's been in Franklin for a bit. Tom Mercer, thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you, Steve, for having me, and thank you for giving all of the candidates an opportunity to put their story out there.
I've long believed, and I think you agree, that we need to have informed voters casting the ballots. And this is the way I know we can do it. I would have liked to involve the studio a little bit more, but the volume was just not going to work so well this time around. So we'll utilize the technology and cover it that way. And thanks to Zoom. So
Yeah, for sure. Thanks to Zoom.
indeed. So, just a quick recap for those who may not have tapped into the others. Each of the candidates did get the questions before. There's three candidates for all questions, three questions for all candidates, and then a set of questions for each role: town council, school committee, planning board, etc. So, with that much said, oh, and then the other piece, of course, to cast the informed vote. Those who have registered and got the mail ballot per the clerk, the ballots will likely be back the week of October 6th, and then she'll mail, and then you'll be able to return it. In-person voting starts Friday, October 17th, and then, of course, the in-person voting at the high school most of the day on Tuesday, November 4th. So that much is the preamble. We'll just dig in. So, for those who perhaps don't know Tom Mercer, what is your Franklin story? Tell us briefly about your road to, or actually here in Franklin, and your involvement in the community.
I'd be happy to, Steve. I'm a lifelong Franklin resident, and not of just the community. It's not just where I live, it's where I've built my life, raised my family, dedicated my career in public service. My wife and I, along with our three daughters, are all proud graduates of the Franklin Public Schools. That personal connection, I think, has driven my deep commitment to ensuring Franklin continues to thrive for all families now and into the future. Over the past 14 years, I've had the honor of serving the residents of Franklin on the town council, 7 of those years as chair. And prior to that, I served 10 years on the school committee, including 8 years as chair. And in those roles, I've consistently worked to balance fiscal responsibility with the need to invest in infrastructure, education, and quality of life for all residents. And I'm especially proud to have chaired the building committees for some of our town's most critical projects. The Horace Mann Oak Street ECDC school complex, which I guess is now the Franklin Middle School, and the Franklin Senior Center, and most recently, the new Franklin High School. These are more than just buildings, they're investments in our future that will serve generations to come. In addition to my public service, I've been actively involved in organizations that support our town's civic and cultural life, including 20 years on the board of directors at the Franklin Country Club, 3 as president, 30 years with the Franklin Performing Arts Company, and also as a member of the Dean College Community Council. Franklin's grown and it's changed, and I've worked hard to help guide that growth responsibly, protecting what makes our town special while planning for what lies ahead. With your support, I look forward to continuing to bring experienced, steady, and transparent leadership to the council. I think that tells my story
Thank
in a
you.
short couple of sentences, a couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, because I at least from what I know, having been a reporter for many of those years, yeah, you could go on a lot more details. And thanks to your collaboration with the town co council quarterbacking sessions, if people want, certainly they can do a lot more and find a lot more in the archives on Franklin Matters. And certainly they can always reach out to you individually as well, which will include in the show notes and the video end cap as well, your contact info, in case they don't already have it.
I think most of them do. But
But you never
if they
know,
don't, I
right?
appreciate that.
Sure. Yep. As you're aware, civil discourse is a key component of our democratic republic form of government. And while the party politics divide, unfortunately, is wider now than ever, fortunately, at least on specifically in this biennial election, we're bipartisan. But that divide still happens from time to time. So, what as an individual can you do and would you do to help kind of bridge that divide or avoid that divide?
Yeah, it's certainly this is a major issue, not only within the community, but within the state, within the country. But I guess I'd say I'm committed to having respectful, open-minded conversations, even with those folks I disagree with. This means listening, and I think that's the most important piece, listening without judgment. Seeking to understand rather than just respond, and recognizing the humanity and intentions behind others' viewpoints. I also aim to avoid spreading misinformation or participating in divisive rhetoric, especially online, as we all know, where emotions can certainly escalate very quickly. And I think beyond that, I continue to work to find and support common ground in our community, whether through volunteering or participating in civic dialogue events or simply talking with neighbors, which I don't think any of us do enough of. I want to encourage cooperation over conflict. I believe that most people, regardless of political affiliation, share many of the same core values, like public safety, opportunity, and fairness. By focusing on those shared values, I hope to help bridge the divide and contribute to a more respectful and unified community that we are all looking for.
Nice. Thank you for that. And while in the first in your Franklin story, I think you've covered some of it, but you can pull out some of the key points here in terms of what experience or background will help you serve in this particular role. Or another way to phrase it is, what do you bring to the table that helps set you apart from the others who are competing in this election now that we have, what, 15 candidates for 9 roles?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of candidates. Which is a good thing for sure. Well, I guess as a current town councilor, I bring proven experience, institutional knowledge, and I think a deep commitment to the residents and businesses of Franklin. As I've said before, I believe in fair, transparent, and honest representation, and I've consistently advocated for policies that reflect those values. I'm proud to work we I'm proud of the work we've done to maintain essential services, invest in infrastructure, and manage our budget responsibly, which is certainly a challenge these days. And I remain focused on ensuring every tax dollar is used wisely and with accountability. Having previously earned the trust of the voters, I fully understand the personal demands and the political complexities of public service. I don't take this responsibility lightly, and I embrace the challenges, and I'm energized by the opportunity to continue listening, collaborating, and working hard for our community's future. And with your support, I'm ready to keep moving Franklin forward.
Thank you for that. And then the first of the three questions specifically for the council, this is, I think, as well, you're well familiar with this particular area. One of the key responsibilities of the council certainly is to hire and provide oversight for the town administrator and his or her team. For example, while you can serve as an escalation point for the town folk, this does not include micromanaging a particular department or operation. Do you agree or disagree? And please elaborate.
Well, Steve, obviously, I do agree with the statement. I think one of the most important roles of the town council is to provide strategic oversight and, again, ensure accountability and not to get involved in the day-to-day operations of individual departments. The town administrators hired for their expertise in managing town affairs. And it's our job as council members to support their work through clear policy direction and performance evaluation and not micromanagement. That said, I think I also believe the council has a duty to listen to residents and serve as an escalation point when concerns arise. If there are consistent issues being raised about a specific department, whether it be police, fire, DPW, schools, whatever, I think it's appropriate for the council to bring those concerns to the town administrator and request a review or action plan and have them report back to the council what that plan is. But the process should always respect the chain of command and professional boundaries. Again, effective governance means knowing when to step in and knowing when to step back. So we empower our professional staff to do their jobs while ensuring the public interest is being served.
Good. Thank you for that. And the council approves the annual budget, which sets the priorities for how Franklin operates in delivering the services they do. Faced with the fiscal challenges we've had the past couple of years, and unfortunately, that seems to be the trend, at least for the next couple of that we see. What are the financial priorities you think we need to address? I think you've alluded to that already, but then there's two other kind of parts to that question. So if you need a reminder along the way, by all means, I'll add that. But how would you explain what needs to be done to the voters and residents, the first part of that? And then what would you do to help the community understand the separation of roles between the council and the school committee?
Great question, for sure. Well, obviously, given the physical challenges Franklin faces over the next several years, our financial priorities must focus, I believe, on three main areas. And the first, sustaining core services. We need to ensure the continued investment in essential services, public safety, police and fire, DPW, infrastructure, roads, water, sewer, and of course, and most importantly, education. These are foundational to maintaining a quality of life and property values that best serve the community. And I think number two, I'd say, would be long-term financial stability. Again, we should prioritize multi-year financial planning, including responsible use of stabilization funds, preparing for rising health insurance and pension costs, which we all know are going continue to go through the roof, and reviewing opportunities for regional collaboration or shared services to improve efficiencies as well as saving money. And I think three, I would say economic development and revenue growth, rather than relying solely on cuts or overrides, we should continue and encourage smart economic growth and supporting local businesses, revitalizing underused properties, and attracting new commercial development to expand the tax base. And those would be my three pieces. How do we explain this to the voters and residents? A challenging task, as you well know. I started the budget subcommittee based of the three finance committee, school committee, and town council. Last year, we spent a lot of time out in the public trying to educate the community as to not only the budget process, but listening to their concerns as to and them hearing the shortfalls that we're up against. But I guess how to explain this to the voters would be, I think transparency is key. I'd continue to advocate for the regular, accessible communication, plain language, budget summaries, public forums, infographics, and again, question and answer sessions as we did last year, so residents understand not just what decisions are being made, but why those decisions are being made. And I think it's about showing people the trade-offs, what we gain by making one decision and what we risk by making that decision, and what we may have to let go or go without when you're looking at new revenues or adjustments. And I think we also have to highlight there's not just about tightening the belts. It's about making intentional choices that reflect our values as a community, prioritizing what matters most. And then, how do we help people understand the separation between the town councils and school committees? Well, having served many years as chair of the school committee and many years as chair of the town council, this is a frequently asked question, and it's a frequent point of confusion. But education is essential, and I suggest public information campaign with both the council and school committee that clarifies their roles. And some of that we've started in the last year. I've asked the chair of the school committee to come to the beginning of town council meetings and just give us a quick update under comments from the chair or announcements from the chair during town council meeting. And Dave Callahan, who's the current chair of the school committee, has done that. He's come forward and give us a little recap, trying to help the community, because obviously the school committee audience on cable is and YouTube is a different audience than the town council. So trying to get the information to both audiences as best we can. And I think just to the frequent point of confusion is with both the council and the school committee to clarify their roles. The town council approves the overall municipal budget and sets the tax rate and oversees the town services and departments, excluding the schools. The school committee governs the school department, including hiring the superintendent, setting school policy, and managing the school budget that's within the allocation given to the school committee from the town council. And I think, as I said, we should continue to host joint meetings, as has been done, to provide visual budget breakdowns and use simple messaging to explain that while the council funds the how much, the school committee decides how it's spent within that amount. And I think the clearer we make the process, the more trust we build, and the more constructive our community discussions will become.
Yeah, we'd have an educated base upon which to continue the discussion. And I think the other piece that I'll advocate for, and I think we've talked about it as well, with the enhancement, a potential enhancement to the new round of joint budget listening sessions, would have been to include at least one kind of a workshop session, which so
Absolutely.
while people have a chance certainly to do the question and answer, if somebody's got some numbers to kind of walk through some of the numbers right then and there so that they can see how the dominoes fall. I think that would be one other enhancement that at least, and clearly, I'm sure you're open to additional ideas.
Oh,
How to improve the
absolutely. And
process as well.
it's something I think you and I had a brief discussion about this a couple of sessions ago in the quarterbacking session. I agree. I think that's a great idea, and we can certainly put that into the joint budget subject listening sessions as we move forward.
All right, so that was the second piece in its three parts. And the final part of the council questions for you is, do you support the goals and recommendations of the 2025 master plan? And if so, what would you do as a council to help implement them? And if not, why not?
Okay, yes, I do support the goals and recommendations of the 2025 master plan. I did vote for it when it was brought forward. I believe the plan lays out a thoughtful, community-driven vision for Franklin's future. Again, we had a master plan that was done 15 years ago, and obviously it was time to update it and come forward with a new one. So we decided as a council to put a master plan committee together about a year and a half ago, and they worked for a full year and a half on this new 2025 master plan. But I think it focuses on smart growth, sustainability, affordable housing, and I know that's a topic of a whole nother conversation for sure. And preserving the town's character while planning for long-term resilience. And I, as a counselor, I do, and I'll continue to advocate for budget priorities that align with the plan's goals, especially in the areas like infrastructure, climate resilience, and accessible housing. Also, I'll support zoning updates that reflect our changing needs. I think you've seen the last couple of council sessions, we're going through four or five zoning changes as this term of the current town council comes to a close. And some of these changes are including mixed use development and transit oriented growth, like the growth of Station 117. But I also will collaborate with community stakeholders to ensure ongoing public input and accountability, implementation of those. And I'll champion sustainability initiatives like green energy adoption and open space preservation. As I know you've seen this council, we've purchased a lot of open space in the last few years. When we built the new Franklin High School, we did get to a silver status with the green building that saved us millions of dollars. So I will continue to champion those energy adoptions and open space preservation. And I see the master plan as a living document, critical roadmap. To help guide Franklin and to help Franklin grow wisely, inclusively, and sustainably.
Yeah, thank you for that. The sustainability part certainly is where the rubber meets the road in many cases.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you. And while we've covered a bunch of topics, is there another topic? If there's another topic that you'd like to address, or at least kind of make a closing comment, we can use this platform, and we've got the voters' and listeners' attention at this point to do so.
Oh, thanks. I think we've covered an awful lot here, Steve. And I apologize if I went on a little bit longer than possible with some of these answers. But I guess the last thing I'd say is I hope voters take away that I'll always put accountability, transparency, and service first. No matter what the pressures are. And I'll ask for your vote so I can keep working for you and for the Franklin's future. And I ask for your vote on November 4th.
Thank you. And to the listeners, thank you for participating. As I alluded at the beginning, stay tuned. This is, I think, a dozen that we've done. So they're coming through the process and they'll be out into the media world. So you'll be able to use them to create your information in order to cast that informed ballot on or before November 4th, 2025. So thank you again. And a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.